Olivia. And we want to thank you for your faithfulness for all these years, for praying for us, for supporting us, and to be part of that ministry. And it's been 22 years that we've been in Bolivia. We've been married 23 years. In May of just a few weeks ago, we celebrated that. And we just count it a great privilege to share the gospel with the Bolivian people, but also to have other parts, other responsibilities. And as you saw in the presentation, we're now, I told somebody we're out of a job, and they say, well, are you going home? I say, well, no, I better not say that, right? So that's what people think. But we're right in a transition spot in our ministry. We have a new director for the seminary, which I'm very, very grateful for. Great privilege to have the opportunity to do something for that many years and to get it to a certain point and then have somebody come who can continue that. And we trust that we will have many, many more years in the ministry there. And we're still very busy with the seminary. Also, my wife is not now responsible for the home, but she's still very active in the ministry there with that as well. And of course, with the church, we've, as you saw, started two churches, but we've had the opportunity to help our graduates. And that's a great joy to see some of those young men go out. And you know, sometimes they have a lot more faith than you do. I mean, I'm speaking of myself. One of our graduates came to me and he said, well, I'm just going to quit my job and everything else and I'm just going to go and start a church. And I said, how are you going to do that? Who's going to supply the food that you need to eat? But he said, I trust the Lord, and the Lord's been good to him. He started two, I think, and another one has started two. We have 22 full-time pastors out of those graduates. And, of course, I just had a part of it. We, in our seminary, we have about 13 pastors that teach faithfully every year. The scheduling is the most difficult because they're pastors. They have responsibilities in their churches. And so to get them to come and teach at a certain night, certain subjects, it's always that's the most difficult of it all. But what a privilege to be part of that. And we thank you for that. You have a part in that, and we just I'm honored to consider to be allowed of God to have a privilege to be in a country like that. That's very different. With the last couple of years, we've gone through a lot of changes. The laws are constantly changing, the regulations and all those things. And sometimes we don't know where it's all going to end up. But at the same time, we're very grateful. And so we thank you. We have a new prayer card. Please do pick one up. We are a little bit, not older. Yes, we are older. But I don't know if we're any better looking, but anyway. So please do pray for us. And as you heard about Brother Sizzler, I saw a picture of his van, and I can see why they say this van is no more worthy of the road, you know. And so we will travel. We're in a short furlough. We plan to be back in the 3rd of November. I think we're back in Bolivia and continue the ministries and start more churches. We already have plans in some outreach areas and so forth. We also do some construction and do medical teams and so on. Vacation Bible School, and all those things that you do back home as a church. And so we covered your prayers as we continue the ministry there. And again, we come to a privilege. It's just an honor to do that. I'm having a little bit difficulty with my English as far as preaching is concerned. I do everything Spanish over there. All my commentaries, everything Spanish, okay? So I study all the time. So this week, I was on my computer and trying to get my message together, and it constantly was correcting my spelling. And finally, I recognized I had English spelling, but my words were in Spanish. I was still thinking, you know. So just bear with me with that, all right? So some of these things, you know, they will have to just come along as time goes by. You know, 22 years doing everything in Spanish, you kind of lose the English, especially considering I grew up in Mexico and I didn't speak English until I started at 16. So there's some things that happen, so forth. So, but again, thank you for allowing us to come and share with you the privilege that we have. And we invite you to come. If you ever have a desire to come to Bolivia or see what we do, please do. If you want to come with a team, do something as well. We have room for at least 22 can come and sleep well. We have a lot of teams, especially in Vacation Bible School, and a little bit of construction, well, construction and medical. So we have room for you. So if you ever have a need or desire to come, or family members, sometimes family have family in other countries, please do come visit us. We would greatly appreciate it. I want to speak to you tonight about being salt and light of the world. Matthew chapter 5, please, tonight. The Bible here, the Lord said to his disciples, ye are the salt and the light of the world. And so we have a responsibility of that. I trust that we can be an encouragement and a blessing and a challenge tonight about this matter of being what we ought to be. In chapter 5, verse 13 through verse 16, we'll read that in a moment. And about being the salt and light, we as missionaries, that is our responsibility in Bolivia. We're looking forward to going back and continuing that. And, you know, when you think about the light, you know, we ought to let our light shine. And so our testimony is very important. All of our neighbors know exactly what we do. I was the other day at home, and I was waiting for my mom. We are staying with my parents right now in St. Thomas. And I went and I sat on the front porch where all the vehicles go by on the Highway 3. It's double lane there. And I said, I'm going to do the Bolivian thing. Because in Bolivia, everybody sits on the street and watches what everybody else does. And so our neighbors know exactly what we do. And so we as missionaries, this passage is very special in the sense that, you know, we ought to be the salt. We ought to be what we ought to be in the testimony and the light so that they can see. And so I told one of our neighbors, I said, we don't have anybody staying in our house while we're gone. If somebody steals from us, I will consider it was you because you're always looking at our house. You know? But that won't be them. They're wonderful folks. He's saved. His wife is not. You know, sometimes things go that way. But I trust that they won't. I'm sure they won't. But salt and light of the world. The Bible says in verse 13, we'll read through verse 16, says, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so he says here that we are the salt of the world and we're the light of the world. Very important, the two things together perhaps, very different ideas, but that is our responsibility. As I was preparing for this, salt has always been an important matter in the life, in history as well as now, as we know. It's been considered important. We know that if we read, the Roman soldiers would receive part of their salary, they would see it in salt. And from what I could gather, that is where our word salary comes from. In Leviticus chapter 2, the Bible says that every meat offering had to be salted in the proper way. We know from olden days, if we read history, that many times agreements were made with salt. In 2 Chronicles, in chapter 13, God gave the kingdom of Israel over Israel to David forever with a covenant of salt. And so salt is an important part of life and has always been. In Bolivia, we have the biggest salt flats in the world, 10,800 and something kilometers, square kilometers. We have over half of the world's lithium ion. So if you have a cell phone with one of those batteries, Bolivia owns over half the world of that. And for some reason, they have not been able to make much of it or to export it and so on, but they own it. And so it's kind of familiar to us. But salt, of course, is an important part in food. I know we all like to eat food that has good flavor. And oftentimes salt is the ingredient that's missing or that is necessary to have that. So tonight I'd like to challenge us for just a few minutes about being the salt that we ought to be and being the light that ought to be. How bright is your light tonight? And so the Lord has some things here for us I think will be a challenge and a blessing to us. First of all, when we think about salt, salt is often used to preserve things, as an antiseptic so that things don't corrupt. I know that when my family and I, we lived in Mexico years ago, we didn't have a fridge, we didn't have electricity, and so we had a coal storage place, and all our meats were hanging in there, and they had a lot of salt on it. And my mom would go in, she'd cut off a little piece to cook, and then she would put more fresh salt on it and to keep it safe. And so it preserves things. In the same manner, we ought to be careful as Christians that we don't let the corruption of this world to corrupt us. It is so important to be to have a good testimony. It is much easier to go and preach to somebody the gospel or to give them the gospel if they know that you live the life that you preach you do. And oftentimes, people look at us and say, what do they have? And that's what we ought to be. We ought to preserve our life. We'll give a testimony that people will want to see or want to have. In 1 Peter chapter 2, and verse 21 to verse 25, the Bible says this. I'll just read it for you if you like. It says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, Neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. And it continues on, giving some other things there. But the idea is that we ought to be follow his example. There is no sin found in him. There's no guile in him. He did not threaten people. He did not, you know, when people didn't like him. And so oftentimes we as Christians, if we're not careful, we get sidetracked from what we are. And it's very difficult to go and preach the gospel when that is the testimony. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, I know we all have our difficulties and we're human beings and so forth, but our desire ought to be holy, to live for the Lord. You know, as I said, our neighbors know everything about us. They watch us day and night, day in, day out. And so as missionaries, we need to be very careful because our purpose is specifically to bring the gospel to those folks. We're not there to change our culture. The gospel changes their culture sometimes, but we're there to preach the gospel. And so we ought to be very careful. Now, we cannot always prevent others from being corrupted, but we surely can prevent ourselves from being corrupted. Now, we also know that many times when a believer is present, folks that don't know the Lord, they act differently. I don't know if you ever experienced that. When I was in college, I worked in a factory or in a business, and everybody looked at it and said, okay, what mistakes he going to make today? Now, what kind of words is he going to use today? A few years ago, we were going back to Bolivia, and we crossed the Detroit border, or Windsor, Detroit, and we were in the van. We had hired a shuttle, and so we were in the van. We were in the back seat, and the driver said to us, everyone, when we get to the border, and it was very cold that day, I remember very clearly, but he said, when you get to the border, just take out your passports. The guard will come, and he'll open the side door, and he'll quickly go through your passports, and he'll ask each one of you, where are you going, what you doing? So he asked the front one, he came back, and we were sitting in the back row, and right in front of us were two ladies, and one of them said, when he asked her, where are you going, she said, well, it is so cold, I'm getting out of here, I'm going to Bahamas, and I'm going to get drunk. That was her answer. He said, okay. So he asked me, and I said, well, we're missionaries, and we're going back to Bolivia, and we were traveling to the Detroit airport, and he backed up, and he looked at the lady who had just told him that she was going to get drunk, and he said to her, and ma'am, you're looking at a Baptist pastor. And she did not know what to think. She just turned every which way. But you know, isn't that what a Christian, you know, our life ought to be an example to others? Be the salt and be what you ought to be. In 1 Peter chapter 4, he tells us that we are no more to live in this world. We still live here as an example, as a testimony, but we are not of this world anymore. Not only that, salt also provides thirst or provokes thirst. Now, the Lord said he is what? The living water. The living water. In many places, as I was studying this, where humidity is really high and where it's a danger that people get dehydrated, oftentimes they use a little bit of extra salt so that they will provoke thirst, so that they will remember to go and drink water as to not get dehydrated. In the same way, our lives ought to be an example that gives thirst. The unbelievers ought to want to know, what is it that drives you? What is it that that motivates you? Our testimony ought to complement or come together with our evangelization. Our last Sunday in Bolivia, this time coming home, I had the privilege of leading one man to Christ in our church or after the service. And he has come a number of months, him and his family. His wife was saved, and he was not. And so I knew he wasn't saved, but he just never came to the point of making a decision. And so as I talked with him over the last few months, and one of the things that he mentioned to me a number of times was that he really liked our church. He liked the way the people acted. He liked the way our church is, or the church sings and all those things. And so he just said, I will keep coming. Well, praise the Lord. We had enough, I guess, a good testimony. He kept coming and he got saved. What a privilege. I had the privilege of baptizing four as well, so that was another blessing to be the last Sunday and have those things. But you know, he saw what we are, and oftentimes, if we're not living the Christian life as we should, that will not give a thirst to those that need to know the Lord. But we all have that responsibility. In John chapter 4, Christ said that he is the living water, and that is what we bring to the people. And so, we ought to live a life that shows us. We remember in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says in chapter 2, I think it's verse 46, 47, that the church had favor with all the people. I think oftentimes that they had a testimony, a true testimony of what God had done for them, and the world saw that, but the world also respected that, had favor with all. And the third place when we talk about salt is that it gives flavor. And now, I have never had the responsibility to be in a hospital a long time and eat their food. I've heard many times people talk about hospital food. It has no salt. In Bolivia, we call it sopa blanca, which means white soup, but it's not white. It's just, you know, it means it has no salt. And so, but I know that doesn't have a great flavor. And so salt gives off flavor. And so we as Christians, in the same way, ought to give off a good flavor. There's one of the biggest independent Baptist churches in Santa Cruz is right in the middle of a big neighborhood. In Bolivia, up to just a few years ago, people did not drive to church. People walked to church. So if you started a church, you would start in the middle of a neighborhood. It's the best place you can start because you'll draw from the whole neighborhood. Well, this church used to have like 600 members. Right now they have a little bit less, but they're growing again. And I often talk with some of the members and I said, you know, this neighborhood ought to be the best neighborhood to live in all of Santa Cruz because a lot of the residents are saved. And they're members of this church. And so they ought to give off the flavor that we need to give off. We are missionaries and we ought to give off the flavor that brings people that they want to know, what is it? What do you have that we don't have? And so be sure to give off the flavor that you ought to give off. I would guess that we all like to go to restaurants where the flavor is good. We arrived just a few weeks ago, and my brother and his family and my parents, we all went out to eat, and it was all right, but we decided that we would not be back there. Unfortunately, the restaurant burned down a couple days ago, but I hope it had nothing to do with the flavor, because it wasn't very good. But, you know, we don't go to those places. We return where the food is good, don't we? You know, the same thing with us. People want to know, and they'll go to where they see a good flavor. Now, verse 14 in our passage here, he says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." The light of the world. So the question is tonight is, how bright is your light? In chapter 4, we won't read all the passage, but look with me in verse 16. He says, "The people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." Here it talks about the city of Capernaum, which was in darkness many years. When Christ came, this is the first place he came in his ministry to teach, and it says he brought light to this city. That's what we do. We bring light to the people that don't know the Lord. The light, it dispels darkness. If you read in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says there the earth was dark, and God brought in, you know, he created light to dispel darkness. Life on earth would not be possible without light. We need light. And I can't imagine how it would be without light. And so light is important. Jesus said in John chapter 8 that he is the light of the world. And so through him or through us, he wants to shine that light. He is the light of the world. The psalmist said in Psalms 36 verse 9, "For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light." And so we ought to shine our light to the world. That's why missions are so important. Missionaries go where, you know, you might not be able to go. And God doesn't call everybody to be a missionary, but that's why we have the responsibility to go and shine our light, or shine the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the local church might not be able to go. Not everybody, well, we know not everybody can go. And that's why, that's what we do. The psalmist also said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation," chapter 27. And so we ought to shine our light to this world. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, it said, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So how bright is your light? Do you let it shine? Does everybody know that you are a Christian? And then do they know that God has done a great work in your life? In the chapter 5 verse of Ephesians, he said, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." What a privilege to shine our light. Amen. He said the city cannot be hid. And we know that when we think about the city, that a city on a hill or on a mountain cannot be hid. It's visible to everybody. And that's how we ought to shine our light. Our second year, I believe it was, with our seminary, we did a choir tour. And I had a vehicle that was not in great shape and had some problems. And sometimes that is not the best thing to take when you go on choir tour. You know, you have 15 kids with you, whatever. But we went, and we were going to the city of Cochabamba. And so I figured out the timing, and I thought, yeah, we'd get there before it's dark. But we didn't, with the problems that we had. And so the whole area up there in the Altiplano, there's no electricity, or wasn't at the time. And so we would go just this one little narrow road, gravel road. We keep driving. We knew we were going to the right direction. Every once in a while, we'd come to a little community, and we'd ask, and they speak Quechua, and we didn't, but we got the idea. Cochabamba, okay, we keep going. But all of a sudden, you could see from the mountain just a little bit of a shine, and you come to the edge of the mountain, way down there in the valley, there's Cochabamba. Now, if Cochabamba would have been up in the hill, I would have been much more relaxed for a long time. I would have seen it from far away because I was concerned. Our vehicle's having problems, and we're not getting anywhere. But praise the Lord, I was so relieved that we got there. Sometimes Christians try to hide our light. You can't hide your light. If you know the Lord as your Savior, you can't hide your light. We ought to shine our light as bright as we can. In Ephesians chapter 5, he says, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light. Verse 11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And so we ought to shine our light. God's word tells us that we ought to shine our light. And we have a responsibility for that. Towards the first year, towards the end of the first year of us being in Bolivia, I was asked to go and be responsible for a small church in a small community about 6 hours from Santa Cruz. And so we went to check it out. They had no running water. They had no electricity. And so they promised to bring the running water to the place where we're going to be staying, but there was no light post or nothing there. So there was no electricity ever to be had. So every night, me and my wife, we're married 2 years, we had a romantic dinner, obligatory. Candles every night, you know, right there. Now, we didn't light our candle and, you know, hide it. It'd be ridiculous, right? So don't hide your light. Shine it as bright as you can. That is our responsibility. A true believer does not hide his light. Now, religion does. You know, sometimes we don't think of it in those terms, but you probably know some of the Mennonites who live in southern Ontario. There's Old Colony, there's Summerfeld. I used to be one. I know very well how the things go. And praise the Lord, I got saved, and I'm a Baptist. Amen. So, but in Bolivia, we have 60 or 65,000 Mennonites. And they have many different levels of in their religion, and they don't allow electricity in many of the communities. So some of them have generators or whatever, and they have, in their religion, it's not allowed, but they do, and they have lights in their shop or whatever so they can do work. So if you go and knock on the door, the first thing they do is hide all the lights. Put a bushel, well, not a bushel, maybe a bucket or whatever, put it over there. So if it's one of their elders, then of course they won't. But if somebody else says, oh, it's just you, and they'll uncover them. Can you imagine how ridiculous that would be for a Christian to say, I know the Lord, but I'm going to try not to be what I'm not to be. I'm going to hide my light. No, that would be totally inconsequential, wouldn't it? We don't do that. We don't start a light and then cover it. The Lord has saved us, and he said, you are the light of the world. So how bright is your light? But not only of the world. Look at verse 15, I believe. It says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. So not only are we a light in the world, but we also light in our own home, in our own community. And so we ought to shine our light also where we are. And now, sometimes in families, it's one of the most difficult places to be a good witness, isn't it? They always remember, oh, I remember when you were there, you know. And they should point the finger at you and say, hey, you know, you were this, and then they always hold against you. But you know what? Just the same. He said, let everybody in the house know that there is light. Put it on a candlestick. And we have a great example of that when Paul reminded Timothy of his mom and his grandmother, of their faith. And so shine your light with all that you possibly can. And then what is the purpose of all this? Well, in verse 16, he says, let your light so shine before men that what? that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so we have a purpose here. Well, one is that they may see your good works. Now, we don't do good works to get saved. We do good works because we are saved. We love our Lord, and we want to serve Him faithfully. I have a really difficult time. Sometimes, you know, in churches in Bolivia, we have folks that are not so eager to serve the Lord. Now, I know God doesn't call everybody to be a pastor or to be a missionary and so on, but we ought to have a heart to serve the Lord. That is our responsibility. What a joy. We consider it a privilege. And so He said that they may see your good works. Good works because God wants us to serve Him. Now, when you see in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David, when he went against Goliath, he didn't say, now everybody will see today who's David. Oftentimes, you know, it's very easy to say, oh, look what I've done. And I know it's very difficult. It's difficult for us to say, well, you know, this is what we do in Bolivia, but not to say we do it. But David didn't say that. He said, today everybody will know that there is a God in Israel. And that is what it's all about. He said that they may see your good works. You know, people want to know, why do you do what you do? When I worked in different companies over the years, before I went to the mission field, you know, they wanted to know. And they always come and ask questions, you know. Why don't you go to the party? Why don't you do this? And all the time they think, oh, the Christian can't do anything. They never see the things that we can do. It is a privilege to serve the Lord. Amen. And He said that what? That God may be glorified. That is our purpose. That God may be glorified. Now, how do we do it? Winning people, training people, and all those different responsibilities in ministry. But the glory goes to God. Amen. It is all His. We just have a part in it. And sometimes I'm in awe to think that God would allow us to be. God is all powerful. He could do without us. He could do what He wants to do. He's all powerful. But He allows us to be part of that. And so tonight, when you think about this, how flavorful is your life? And how bright is your light? What a privilege to know the Lord and to have that opportunity to share the gospel with those that don't know the Lord. And in our case, most of the time it's in Bolivia. In your case, it might be around here or wherever. And so let your light shine so that people may know. And if you don't know the Lord, why not? He died for you on the cross, just like for everybody else. And what a privilege to have that source, if you will. And He saved us so that we can shine the light. And so my challenge to you tonight is be the salt that you ought to be and be the light that you'll be. How bright is your light? Is it shining? Or is it just barely flickering? And I trust this will be a challenge to you. And as the pastor comes a minute to give the invitation, consider, do you give off the flavor that you ought to? Is your light shining the way it should? And may God use it to our His glory. Let's pray and then we'll continue. Do you have any follow-up?